I'm delighted now to welcome to the program Mayor David Koss, our mayor here in Santa Fe.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hank Hughes is executive director of the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness.
Good morning.
And Spencer Hainsworth, who's an architect and development director at the Housing Trust.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
So we're here to talk about a brand new thing that is happening in Santa Fe. It's basically an affordable housing development called Village Sage.
Yes.
Right. Out by Capitol High.
Out by Capitol High. Tell us about it.
It's a 60-unit affordable rental housing community across from Capitol in the Tierra Contenta Master Planned Community. It's developed by the Housing Trust. We're a nonprofit affordable housing provider here in Santa Fe. 25% of the units are set aside for people that were formerly homeless, individuals and families. And 20% are deaf accessible because of a partnership where we purchased the land from the School of the Deaf.
Very interesting. So there have been many housing developments in Santa Fe where there's a requirement that some percentage be set aside for affordable housing. This is all affordable housing.
Right.
And some percentage is set aside for homeless people. Tell us about, Hank Hughes, the transition from being homeless to getting into a development like this.
Well, and we hope the transition will be very short because we want people to get into housing as soon as possible. We found that when people are homeless, they really can't deal with any of life's problems, and so they really require the housing as a first step. And this development has grown out of our 5-year plan to end homelessness in Santa Fe that Mayor Koss let us do under his name a few years ago. And we were so happy that the Housing Trust stepped forward and offered to do these kind of developments. They've been done in other communities, but this is the first of its kind in Santa Fe. And it's really a model for ending homelessness because it allows homeless people to live in a mixed-income, nice apartment community and really get their lives back together.
It seems that there's a lot of different categories of homeless people. Some of them are people who've been basically sleeping outdoors for a long time and who are in pretty rough shape or just living a very different kind of life than everybody else. Some are people who have recently lost a job, their savings ran out, and they're essentially middle-class people who are victims of the economy. What are you getting kind of a little bit of everybody into this development?
Well, yeah. The Housing Trust agreed to put, I think it's 6 one-bedroom apartments in, which will really be aimed toward that first group you described, people who've been homeless for a long time, probably suffer from some sort of disability, need a lot of services and a lot of hand-holding to be in the housing. The other 9 units for homeless people are multi-bedroom and will probably cater more to that second group of people who are homeless for a short time, single mothers with children, you know, who don't have a disability but have an economic problem, that kind of thing. So we'll probably tackle both groups, wouldn't you say, Spencer?
Yeah. And the shelters will be referring those individuals and families to our property management so that they can process them and put them through the application process to get a unit.
So this development is not only for a good cause, it's also doing things in a really green way. Mm-hmm. You have water conservation, mm-hmm. energy-saving appliances, all kinds of things built in.
Right. I think it's unique in so many ways. You know, we had to make a choice because it's affordable. We had to really focus in on certain aspects, but we looked at energy efficiency and water conservation as the main focus, both in water conservation in the landscape and in the units themselves. The units are also Energy Star certified. And then just the fact that we have almost 2 acres set aside as open space, all of that will be planted with native plants. There's interpretive signage for children. So we're not just thinking about sustainability in the typical way. It's how can we educate our children to learn about native plants and habitats. So there are gardens, pollinator gardens, with native wildflowers, a willow tunnel that is fun for kids, but also a habitat for birds, rock gardens, high desert gardens, sage gardens that teach kids all about what's happening in their in the native landscape in Santa Fe.
And I can't help thinking, but when you have an atmosphere like that, that whatever kind of social illnesses and problems that people have and that they're bringing into a development like that, there's kind of a, for lack of a better word, kind of healing and peaceful quality about it.
Well, it's designed right into this development, and it's got a focus so that it's going to be very community oriented. You'll be able to see your neighbors enjoying these gardens. There's gathering spaces and a community house. There's a laundromat because not every apartment will have its own separate laundry. So it will be very community oriented, and I think it'll be a nice place to be.
Yeah, we actually had the mayor come out and do a sneak preview walkthrough, and he seemed really impressed with it.
It's a very impressive, and I like seeing the thoughtfulness into the water harvesting and the natural landscape as well.
You'll see
a lot of wildlife.
He was really impressed with our landscape architect, Solange Sarkis, who's really been the champion of the landscape plan. And, she's completely against the idea of these pre-made plastic play structures that often are, the last thing you think of, and it's what kids are given to play on. And she's done such a great job at incorporating play and landscape so that it's educational, interpretive for kids and adults alike.
There are also services available. What kind of services are anticipated that will be needed for the people living there?
Well, the main thing is we have a full-time service coordinator working for Santa Fe Community Services. And her job, she's already started actually, is to connect the people living there with whatever services they need. So we, in the application for this project, lined up just about everybody you could think of, from the community college to health care for the homeless to child care providers, to be ready when people need their help. And so basically Patty, who's the services coordinator, will meet with each of the homeless families and the other families if they need it and find out, what it is that they need and work with them to get it.
What is the nature of the contract? It's rental housing. Do they have to, in order to get to be in this wonderful place, do they have to do certain things or meet certain standards?
Not other than what a normal rental contract would require. The idea is rather old-fashioned now that we would require extra things, because what we found is that people really need the housing, and they may or may not want the services you're offering. And so it's better to make those optional. Mm-hmm. And then, if people decide they don't want the services you're offering, they can go get their own.
Right. I think that's an important point, because making the services a condition on their housing just defeats the whole purpose of providing them housing first and allowing them to get their life in order. But the services are actually available to all the residents, not just the 25% of formerly homeless people. So anybody can partake of those services. And in addition to that, we have partnered with some nonprofits in the community that provide other services, like the Chainbreaker Collective, which you might be aware of.
Yeah, the bicycles.
Right, and we have a bicycle shed on site that is for a lending bicycle shed, and there are... there'll be probably 12 bikes that are available to the community that they can check out, and the steward will be the Chainbreaker Collective. Another partnership we made was with the Santa Fe Community Gardens, and we have a community garden and orchards on the site, and they're stewarding that for at least the first year, so that residents can learn how to garden and gain ownership of that community garden.
And, of course, growing your own food saves you money, and
right.
For people who like it, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the plan to end homelessness. So is it a five-year plan?
It is a five-year plan.
What year are we in now?
We're in about the third year.
About year three, yeah.
How's
about
it going?
Year three. It's going. When we wrote the plan, we weren't planning on the Great Recession. But I think the project on Sirius, that'll be a one-stop shop for the homeless. Because one of the things that's really hard when you're homeless is you got to go one place for Social Security, you got to go somewhere else for job counseling. When you're doing all that on the bus or by foot, it wears you out. So we will have, by the end of this next year, a one-stop shop on Sirius at the former Pete's Pets building, and what's it going to be called, Hank?
Santa Fe Resource and Opportunity Center.
Santa Fe Resource and Opportunity Center. But working with the faith community, we did open that up last year as an emergency overflow shelter, and it's been sleeping 70 to 80 people a night this winter. And so the idea of being able to put services in there, again, is a transitional phase. Then the projects like Project SAGE, I think that's the really critical next step, is the plan took a housing-first approach. You can't really solve any of the other issues going on until you have the shelter. So we probably, after we get done with Project SAGE, we need to look for what's the next one and the next one. And there is another one coming up with the Santa Fe Community Housing Trust at the old Stagecoach Inn that we were planning to rehabilitate that. That's a royal we. The city's just helping them do it. Yeah. But, you know, and I think that's another 60 units.
Another 60 units and some zero-bedroom units for for individuals that were formerly homeless.
So, I think our next step is really, how close are we now to serving this population, and what do we need to do to finish off? But we were slowed down by the economy. We were slowed down by losing the vote on the transfer tax. But the community, the faith community, the nonprofit housing groups, the homeless alliance, they just have never stopped working on this. And so you see the pieces coming together.
I think you have to make a bold step, like a five-year plan to end homelessness, to get people's attention to do something about it. And if it's not, we don't meet that goal, at least we chip away at it.
Well, I think we've made amazing progress, both on the one-stop shop, which was just a dream, and now it's going to be a reality by the end of the year. And the fact that the Housing Trust is going to develop not just this one project, but a series of projects, we're well on our way. And at the end of 5 years, we may not have housed everybody, but we'll probably know, and there'll be a lot less left to be done than there was when we started.
It sounds like the way you're going about it is you're really listening to people and figuring out what they need, not just sort of imposing it upon them.
Well, right, because that tends to work better. People tend to know what they, even if they don't know what they need, they know what they want.
And they know what they don't want.
And they know what they don't want. So.
And right. Actually, that's an important point, because we did do a lot of, for our next project, the Stagecoach, we're meeting with those service providers, and for Village Stage we did as well, to really get input from those clients.
And I think it's, I've been getting a lot of education from Hank and Spencer and Deborah Tang and others. It's really important for people to remember that, one of the leading causes of homelessness is health care issues, and our inadequate health care system can lead you to go bankrupt and end up homeless. Second leading cause is domestic violence.
Right.
And the third leading cause is going to be losing your job. And so you're way down the list on causes when you talk about substance abuse or mental health issues. There's so many economic issues that can cause you to be homeless. And so I think it's real important for a community to show that they care and they have resources.
The lack of social safety net in this country is just an ongoing cause of problems that people then like to attribute to lack of personal responsibility.
Right. And when actually they went bankrupt trying to keep their wife from dying of cancer.
Right.
And now they're homeless.
We're talking to Mayor Koss, Hank Hughes from the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness, and Spencer Hainsworth with the Housing Trust here in Santa Fe. Tell us about some of the other projects that the Housing Trust has done in the past. You have a fabulous track record.
We've done nearly 600 affordable homes. At first, we started off as a for-sale affordable home provider. But after the economy and the housing bubble burst, we started to rethink that because, it used to be a silver bullet. It used to be a sure thing to buy a home was to build equity. And now we're looking at people owning homes that are worth less than what their mortgage is. So it's not that anymore. We still do for sale. We're also working with the city at existing homes and selling those, because now market rate homes are affordable or more affordable than they were. But we are getting into the affordable rental now. We just finished, before the Village Sage, we just finished a unique project called Elder Grace. It's a senior co-housing project. Now, that was a for sale, but what was unique about it was the co-housing aspect, and that it was for seniors 55 and over, and that was an affordable project as well. And so some of those homes were as inexpensive as $85,000.
The project that you're doing now, the Village Sage, it sounds like there's some aspects of co-housing to it. In other words, communal space, green space, facilities shared, and things like that.
I think we did learn a lot from the senior co-housing project of public or shared amenities that build community, but it's not co-housing. It's probably, you know, just more community-oriented, and there is that need to, everybody goes to their individual rental unit. There needs to be that space where people can meet their neighbors and share in activities. So we did incorporate community gardens and orchards like we have at Elder Grace.
You were mentioning, Hank Hughes, a moment ago, the input of faith communities. What is the role of various churches and individual people within those churches in helping with all of this?
Well, the faith communities have been at the lead in developing the Resource and Opportunity Center on Cerrillos Road. The Interfaith Community Shelter Group is basically an alliance of faith groups that stepped forward to help St. Elizabeth further develop the emergency shelter resources in Santa Fe. And so they're really concentrating on that right now, but there's a smaller group of people within the faith communities that I hope will grow that is looking more toward mentoring families and individuals who are in homelessness. And I think that's important too, because we won't ever be able to have enough paid case managers to help everybody who needs, you know, like a helping hand and a friend in the community. And so we're looking forward to the faith communities taking on that role as well.
There's also something to be said for developing the kind of bond that comes through a mentor who wants to be there versus a caseworker. And caseworkers are very wonderful people, but, you know, who are doing it as their job. It's a different kind of bond that forms.
Well, sure. And a caseworker, you know, may have 20 or, if they're unlucky, you know, more clients they have to deal with, and it's hard for them to be emotionally attached to everybody. And so, a more one-on-one, more personal, longer-term relationship would be very helpful to a lot of people.
Mayor Koss, what would you like the citizens of Santa Fe to know about homelessness and about these issues?
I'd like them to know that it is a serious issue in our community, that homeless people spend a lot of time trying to be invisible, but they are there. I'd like them to support the services and follow the lead of the Santa Fe Community Housing Trust, the St. Elizabeth's, the Homeless Coalition, the Interfaith Alliance, because the pieces are coming together, and I think the more that people support it, follow it, and just acknowledge it, the stronger we'll be as a community.
Now, the Village Sage is going to have some kind of an opening.
I just wanted to invite the community to come to our housewarming probably have it in mid-May. There's going to be a lot of activities. Chainbreakers Collective will be there. Santa Fe Community Gardens will be there. We'll be planting the raised beds and fixing bikes and have face painting and stuff for kids. So we're kind of doing a grand opening. Don't have a date yet, but we'll put it out there for everybody.
Anything else?
Well, I think I should just add that we have one of the most supportive mayors that I could imagine in terms of these issues, and we're very grateful that Mayor Koss has been supportive all along.
Well, thanks to all of you, Mayor David Koss, Hank Hughes from the New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness, and Spencer Hainsworth from the Housing Trust. The Village Sage is the project. The Housing Trust can be found at thehousingtrustonline.org. And New Mexico Coalition to End Homelessness,
www.nmceh.org.
And you know where to find the mayor.
And you know where to find the
City
mayor.
Hall.
City Hall. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks, Mayor Charlotte.
Thank you.
Thank you.